What Modern Revelation Teaches About Adam by Arthur A. Bailey. Reading about Adam's life from the Bible alone leaves many unanswered questions. How should we feel about our first parents? Should we bewail Adam and Eve for partaking of the forbidden fruit? What did they really know about the teachings and commandments of God? Fortunately, the Lord has revealed information that helps us answer such questions. These truths are found in the Doctrine and Covenants, Pearl of Great Price, and Book of Mormon, and in the Prophet Joseph Smith's statements in History of the Church and other writings. Indeed, these sacred writings teach that Adam and Eve were majestic and glorious forebears, and that they were taught the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ from the beginning. See Moses chapter 5, verse 58. These sources instruct us about Adam's life before Eden, in Eden, in mortality, and in his post-mortal state. We are fortunate to have this additional material, for when it is understood properly, it renews hope and faith in God and instills confidence in the Bible text and in the prophets. Pre-Eden. The Bible itself attests that life existed before the physical creation of the earth. See Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. However, the prophet Joseph Smith learned from the book of Moses that God did not just create some forms of life, but that he created all things spiritually before they were naturally upon the face of the earth. And I had created all the children of men, for in heaven created I them. Moses chapter 3, verse 5. The prophet taught that during this period of the spirit existence, Adam received the priesthood. He obtained the first presidency and held the keys of it from generation to generation. He obtained it in the creation before the world was formed. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, compiled by Joseph Fielding Smith, page 157. He was chosen to be the head of the mortal family and was instructed in his role as our earthly progenitor. See Teachings, page 158. These sources reveal that Adam and Eve were taught the gospel long before they were in Eden. Indeed, life before Eden was obviously a time of preparation for their important ministry. In the premortal realm, Adam was known as Michael and led the faithful angels of heaven against Lucifer. As a result, Lucifer was cast out of heaven to the earth. See Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. Eden. The Lord revealed to the prophet Joseph Smith much more about the occurrences in the Garden of Eden than what has survived in the Bible. When Adam was placed in the Garden of Eden, he was privileged to have a tangible, physical body of flesh and bone. And the gods planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there they put the man whose spirit they had put into the body which they had formed. Abraham chapter 5, verse 8. He was created in the very fashion, image, and likeness of God. Teachings, page 345. As the first man, he was given the name of Adam. Moses, chapter 1, verses 33 and 34. He was still in the presence of God in Eden and continued the intimate relationship he enjoyed with his father. He was instructed again about his role in the plan of salvation. See Moses, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Abraham, chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. And was permitted to name all cattle, fowl of the air, and every beast of the field in Eden. Moses chapter 3, verse 20. He was also introduced to Eve, who would become a helpmeet for him, that is, suitable helper. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Adam and Eve were married in Eden. See History of the Church, volume 2, page 320. Lehi said of their circumstances that they would have had no children. Wherefore, they would have remained in a state of innocence, having no joy, for they knew no misery, doing no good, for they knew no sin. 2 Nephi, chapter 2, verse 23. He also stated, if Adam had not transgressed, he would not have fallen, but he would have remained in the Garden of Eden, and all things which were created must have remained in the same state in which they were after they were created. And they must have remained forever, and had no end. 2 Nephi chapter 2, verse 22. When Eve was successfully tempted by Lucifer, Adam also subsequently transgressed the law that had preserved them in their Edenic state. The implications of the fall are often misunderstood in the contemporary world. One misperception the world has about the transgression of Adam and Eve is the concept of original sin. In short, this doctrine is that the fall of Adam tainted every individual who was born into the human family. Thinking that all children inherit Adam's sin and are thus cut off forever from God's presence, some Christians practice infant baptism as a remedy. Information supplied by the prophet Joseph Smith, however, shows that the doctrine of original sin, as it has been developed in the world, is false. In the book of Moses, we learn that the Son of God hath atoned for original guilt, wherein the sins of the parents cannot be answered upon the heads of the children, for they are whole from the foundation of the world. Moses chapter 6, verse 54. The Doctrine and Covenants teaches that in our infant state we are innocent before God because of the atonement of Christ. Doctrine and Covenants, section 93, verse 38. The Book of Mormon contains these words from the Lord Jesus Christ. Little children are whole, for they are not capable of committing sin. Wherefore, the curse of Adam is taken from them in me. Moroni chapter 8, verse 8. The prophet Joseph Smith declared that men will be punished for their own sins and not for Adam's transgression. Second Article of Faith. Our Father in Heaven knew Adam and Eve would fall. In fact, the prophet Joseph Smith taught that Adam was made to open the way of the world. Teachings, page 12. Lehi tells us, Adam fell that man might be, and men are, that they might have joy. 2 Nephi chapter 2, verse 25. Modern scripture makes it clear that it was the will of the Father as part of his plan that Adam and Eve transgress and thus be moved out of Eden. Satan thus unwittingly furthered the plan, for he knew not the mind of God. Moses chapter 4, verse 6. After the fall, Adam and Eve were given coats of skins to cover their bodies. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. It is interesting to note that the Hebrew word for atonement is kephar, which means to cover or make propitiation. By wearing their coats of skins, they would be reminded that the atonement covered their sins. Mortality. Having experienced the change to mortal bodies, Adam and Eve were driven from Eden and began to till the earth and raise flocks. President Brigham Young and others reported that the prophet Joseph Smith taught that Eden was in Jackson County, Missouri, and that the nearby valley of Adam on Ammon was, at least for a period, the land where Adam dwelt. Doctrine and Covenants, section 117, verse 8. It was now possible for Adam and Eve to have children, which they did. The sequence of events in Moses 5 indicates that sons and daughters were born to them even before Cain and Abel were born. Their children began to divide two and two in the land, and to till the land, and to tend flocks, and they also begat sons and daughters. Moses chapter 5, verse 3. We know the names of only three sons, Cain, Abel, and Seth. The book of Genesis does not record any aspect of the lives of the first family after their expulsion from the garden prior to the story of Cain and Abel. See Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 17. But the revelations given to the prophet Joseph Smith show that Adam and Eve were taught the plan of salvation, including the Savior's role and the significance of gospel ordinances. Though they were out of God's presence and no longer walked and talked with Him as they had done in Eden, they heard His voice from the way toward the Garden of Eden speaking unto them, but they sought Him not. Moses chapter 5, verse 4. Adam and Eve were instructed about proper worship and the offering or sacrifice of the firstlings of their flocks. See verse 5. Their obedience to these commandments brought additional instruction and enlightenment into their lives. And after many days, an angel of the Lord appeared unto Adam, saying, Why dost thou offer sacrifices unto the Lord? And Adam said unto him, I know not, save the Lord commanded me. And the angel spake, saying, This thing is a similitude of the sacrifice of the only begotten of the Father, which is full of grace and truth. Wherefore, thou shalt do all that thou doest in the name of the Son, and thou shalt repent and call upon God in the name of the Son for evermore. See verses 6 through 8. After being taught by an angel about the purpose of their offering sacrifices and the need for repentance and prayer, the Holy Ghost fell upon Adam. He then learned more about the mission of Jesus Christ and that he and his children even as many as will, could be redeemed from the fall. Verse 9. Under the influence of the Holy Ghost, Adam rejoiced and began to prophesy concerning all the families of the earth, saying, Blessed be the name of God, for because of my transgression my eyes are opened, and in this life I shall have joy, and again in the flesh I shall see God. Verse 10. Eve then was glad, saying, Were it not for our transgression, we never should have had seed, and never should have known good and evil, and the joy of our redemption, and the eternal life which God giveth unto all the obedient. Verse 11. These declarations indicate that Adam and Eve saw their transgression in its proper and true perspective. They understood the necessity of the fall and praised God for His great plan of happiness. No sorrow, regret, or shame is evident in these statements. In the information provided by the prophet Joseph Smith, Satan's role is emphasized more than it is in the Bible. The biblical story of Adam and Eve mentions Satan in only 6 verses. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, verse 13, and verse 15. These verses are all in relation to the temptation in the garden. There are no subsequent references to Satan's interference in their lives or the lives of their children after the fall. By contrast, Moses chapter 4 contains 14 verses. Moses chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, and verses 19 through 21 that apply to Satan's actions in Eden. And Moses chapter 5 gives considerable detail about his influence within the ranks of Adam and Eve's family in mortality. After Adam and Eve instructed their family about the things that had been taught by the angel, Satan came among their children saying, Believe it not. And they believed it not, and they loved Satan more than God. And men began from that time forth to be carnal, sensual, and devilish. Verses 12 and 13. It is very instructive that even though Adam and Eve had earlier yielded to Satan's influence in Eden, these words were not used to describe them, but rather to describe their disobedient sons and daughters. In Moses chapter 5, we learn that Cain and Abel are born after Lucifer's philosophy of believe it not is entrenched among the children of Adam. See verses 16 and 17. Further, we see that it is through Satan's efforts that Cain is enticed to rebel against the counsels of the Lord and to slay his brother. Cain loved Satan more than God, and Satan commanded him, saying, Make an offering unto the Lord. Verse 18. The prophet Joseph Smith adds further light by saying that Cain's sacrifice was offered without faith. See Teachings, page 58. Although Cain's sacrifice was not accepted, the Lord mercifully extended an opportunity to Cain to repent. See Moses chapter 5, verses 22 through 25. Cain rejected that opportunity and immediately made a covenant with Satan to take Abel's life, verses 29 through 32. As a result of Cain's disobedience, he was shut out from the presence of the Lord with his wife, who was one of his brother's daughters. See verse 28. And, with many of his brethren, dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden, verse 41. After this event, other children of Adam and Eve made covenants with Satan, see verses 49 through 51. And Adam and his wife mourned before the Lord because of Cain and his brethren, verse 27. Being able to read about Adam and Eve's response to these sad family events helps us become better acquainted with their struggles in raising their family. Knowing that Adam and Eve were real people helps us relate better to them and to our own feelings, on occasion, of frustration and sorrow. Further, it is heartening to note that our times of sorrow are very brief compared to Adam's trials in his 930 years in mortality. See Genesis chapter 5, verse 5. Through the prophet Joseph Smith, we learn that Adam continued to teach and call his children to repentance. In the midst of much turmoil throughout their family, Seth was born, Moses chapter 6, verse 2. He chose righteousness, and Adam blessed and ordained him at age 69, Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verse 42. Genesis chapter 5, verse 3 says, Seth was in the likeness and image of his father, and Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verse 43 adds that he could be distinguished from his father only by his age. Further, we learn through the prophet that Adam and his family kept a book of remembrance that contained a genealogical record and probably other things important to their family. It was kept in the language of Adam, a pure and undefiled tongue. See Moses chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. Through the prophet Joseph Smith, we learn that Enoch taught about Adam's instruction to his family and about his participation in the priesthood's saving ordinances. Enoch reports that God called upon Adam by his own voice and taught him regarding repentance, baptism, the importance of the name of Jesus Christ, the gift of the Holy Ghost, forgiveness, original guilt, agency, the fall, being born again, and the mission of the Comforter, all of which are identified as the plan of salvation unto all men. See Moses chapter 6, verses 51 through 62. When Adam learned that the way back to God's presence was through Jesus Christ, and that he should be baptized in the name of mine only begotten Son, who is full of grace and truth, which is Jesus Christ, the only name which shall be given under heaven, whereby salvation shall come unto the children of men. Moses chapter 6, verse 52. He was baptized. See Moses chapter 6, verse 64. Then the Spirit of God descended upon him, and thus he was born of the Spirit and became quickened in the inner man. And he heard a voice out of heaven saying, Thou art baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost. This is the record of the Father and the Son from henceforth and forever. And thou art after the order of him who was without beginning of days or end of years, from all eternity to all eternity. Behold, thou art one in me, a son of God, and thus may all become my sons. Amen. Moses chapter 6, verses 65 through 68. These events clearly show that even in Adam's time, the Savior's central role in the plan was known, and that compliance with divine instruction and participation in prescribed priesthood ordinances was required to be born of God. To become once again a child of God requires a change from a state of sin to a state of righteousness, becoming a new creature, as it were. Mosiah chapter 27, verses 25 and 26. The result can be that we, like Adam, are permitted to enjoy the presence of God. In order for Adam to fulfill his role as patriarch of the human family and provide ordinances for their salvation, it was necessary for him to hold the priesthood with all its attendant keys. The prophet Joseph Smith said that Adam stood next to Christ in priesthood authority relative to those who have lived on earth. How have we come at the priesthood in the last days? It came down in regular succession. Peter, James, and John had it given to them, and they gave it to others. Christ is the great high priest, Adam next. Teachings, page 158. Adam held its keys from generation to generation, with Adam receiving his presidency and authority from the Lord. Teachings, page 169, also Doctrine and Covenants, section 78, verses 15 and 16. The keys have to be brought from heaven whenever the gospel is sent. When they are revealed from heaven, it is by Adam's authority. He, Adam, is the father of the human family, and presides over the spirits of all men, and all that have had the keys must stand before him, said Joseph Smith. Teachings, page 157. It is evident that the prophet Joseph Smith was aware of Adam's important priesthood role, and that he himself served under Adam's direction, who served under the Lord Jesus Christ. After Adam's many, many years of great and noble faithfulness, near the end of his life, another great event occurred. The prophet Joseph Smith said, I saw Adam in the valley of Adam Onde Amon. He called together his children and blessed them with a patriarchal blessing. The Lord appeared in their midst, and he, Adam, blessed them all and foretold what should befall them to the latest generation. Teachings, page 158. The prophet recorded that this event took place 3 years prior to Adam's death, and that Seth, Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, and Methuselah, all of whom had been ordained by Adam, were present. These righteous descendants were high priests in the order of the priesthood established in the days of Adam. Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verses 41 through 53. This meeting was also attended by the residue of his posterity who were righteous. Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verse 53. And the Lord appeared unto them, and they rose up and blessed Adam, and called him Michael, the prince, the archangel. And the Lord administered comfort unto Adam, and said unto him, I have set thee to be at the head, a multitude of nations shall come of thee, and thou art a prince over them forever. And Adam stood up in the midst of the congregation, and notwithstanding he was bowed down with age, being full of the Holy Ghost, predicted whatsoever should befall his posterity unto the latest generation. Verses 54 through 56. Adam later died. Then in these last days the prophet Joseph Smith reported that he saw Adam in the celestial kingdom. Doctrine and Covenants, section 137, verse 5. However, Adam's great work is not done and continues today. Post-mortality. One of Adam's duties in his post-mortal role as father of the human race is to help prepare his posterity for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Daniel chapter 7, verse 22, speaks of the return of the Ancient of Days, which the prophet Joseph Smith said means the oldest man, our father Adam, Michael, who will call his children together and hold a council with them to prepare them for the coming of the Son of Man. Teachings, page 157. This preparatory council will be held at Adam Onde Amen. Doctrine and Covenants, section 116, verse 1. And Teachings, page 122. And will be attended by the Savior. See Teachings, page 158. After the millennium, Satan will be loosed for a period known as the Little Season. Doctrine and Covenants, section 88, verse 111. Then Adam, as the archangel and commander of the Lord's heavenly hosts, will lead them against Lucifer and his legions and defeat them. To the prophet Joseph Smith, the Lord revealed, Michael, the seventh angel, even the archangel, shall gather together his armies, even the hosts of heaven, and the devil shall gather together his armies, even the hosts of hell, and shall come up to battle against Michael and his armies. And then cometh the battle of the great God, and the devil and his armies shall be cast away into their own place, that they shall not have power over the saints any more at all. For Michael shall fight their battles, and shall overcome him who seeketh the throne of him who sitteth upon the throne, even the Lamb. Verses 112 through 115. This will be the last great battle, resulting in Satan's having no more power over the saints. As we ponder Adam's role, we see that Adam is a great opposer to Satan. Even before Eden, Satan was defeated and cast out of heaven to the earth by Adam and priesthood power and priesthood forces. Because of the holy priesthood, Adam will forever have ascendancy over Satan. Of Adam's everlasting role as the grand immortal patriarch of the human family, the prophet Joseph Smith said that God established the ordinances of the gospel to be the same forever, and set Adam to oversee their dispensation to his children. Yet in all things Adam acts under the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ, and although he holds presiding responsibility for all dispensations affecting his posterity, he himself does not receive a fullness until the kingdom is presented to the Father by the Lord Jesus Christ at the last day. See Teachings, page 169. This event will occur after Adam has called forth all his posterity in the resurrection. Doctrine and Covenants, section 29, verse 26, and section 138, verse 51. In summary, it is evident that the Bible is missing much great and marvelous information about our remarkable forebear, Adam. The additional truths provided by the prophet Joseph Smith reveal anew events about our first mortal parent. Adam and Eve emerge from relative obscurity into marvelous light. And as we see the application of gospel principles and ordinances in their lives, and see how, in the true spirit of parenthood, they followed the Lord's path and have shown us the way, we have greater faith and confidence in God and in His prophets. A Latter-day Saint view of Adam. The left column lists the Bible's teachings about Adam. The right column lists additional information restored through the prophet Joseph Smith. What the Bible teaches. No items pre-Eden. What Latter-day Revelation adds. Pre-Eden, Adam dwelt with God as a spirit. See Teachings, page 158. He was chosen to be the mortal head of the human family. See Teachings, page 158. He is Michael, the Ancient of Days, the Archangel, the leader of the heavenly forces who cast Lucifer from heaven. Doctrine and Covenants, section 27, verse 11, Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. He received the priesthood keys of the first presidency before the world was formed. See Teachings, page 157. Eden. What the Bible teaches, Eden. Adam was created and was placed in the garden. See Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. He was the first man. See 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. He gave names to all living creatures. Genesis chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Eve was created. See Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. What Latter-day Revelation adds, Eden, Adam and Eve were married in the Garden of Eden. See History of the Church, volume 2, page 320. What the Bible teaches, in Eden, Adam and Eve transgressed. See Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. What Latter-day Revelation adds, they fell that men might be. 2 Nephi chapter 2, verse 25. See also Teachings, page 12. What the Bible teaches, they made aprons and hid from the Lord. See Genesis chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. God instructed Adam and Eve. See Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The Lord gave them coats of skins. See Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. They were driven from Eden. See Genesis chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. What the Bible teaches, mortality. Their transgression brought death into the world. See 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. What Latter-day Revelation adds, they suffered spiritual death. Doctrine and Covenants, section 29, verse 41. What the Bible teaches about mortality, they kept records. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. What Latter-day Revelation adds, they had a pure and undefiled language. See Moses chapter 6, verse 6. They were commanded to worship and offer sacrifice. See Moses chapter 5, verse 5. Adam was taught by angels. See Moses chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. And Doctrine and Covenants, section 29, verse 42. He received the Holy Ghost. See Moses chapter 5, verse 9. They comprehended reasons for the fall and rejoiced. See Moses chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. What the Bible teaches, they had children. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, and verse 25. What Latter-day Revelation adds, they taught the gospel to their children. See Moses chapter 5, verse 12. They experienced sorrow because of their children's transgressions. See Moses chapter 5, verse 27. They were forgiven of their transgression in Eden. Moses chapter 6, verse 53. Adam was baptized and born of the Spirit. Moses chapter 6, verses 64 and 65. He was given the priesthood, immortality. See Teachings, page 157. He ordained righteous brethren to important callings in the priesthood. Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verses 39 through 53. What the Bible teaches, Adam lived 930 years in mortality. Genesis chapter 5, verse 5. What Latter-day Revelation adds, he dwelt at Adam onde Amen. Doctrine and Covenants, section 117, verse 8. What the Bible teaches, as a prophet, he was a type or foreshadowing of Christ. See Romans chapter 5, verse 14. What Latter-day Revelation adds, 3 years before his death, he gathered and blessed his posterity. Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verses 53 through 57. Post-mortality. What the Bible teaches, no items. What Latter-day Revelation adds, he stands next to Jesus Christ in priesthood authority. See Teachings, page 158. Under Jesus Christ, Adam holds the keys of all dispensations. See History of the Church, volume 4, pages 207 and 208. Adam directs the restoration of ordinances even in our time. See History of the Church, volume 4, page 207. He was seen in the celestial kingdom by the prophet Joseph Smith. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 137, verse 5. And prior to the Lord's second coming, Adam will be at Adam onde Amen. See Teachings, page 157. Gospel topics. Adam, Eve, fall, garment, Satan, war in heaven. Note, Arthur A. Bailey is an instructor at the Ephraim, Utah Institute of Religion. End of note. End of article, What Modern Revelation Teaches About Adam, by Arthur A. Bailey.